Kings chapter 17, and we're going to be talking tonight. Has to go along a lot with what the pastor preached this morning, and you'll see as we get through the message what I'm talking about. But 1 Kings chapter 17. Going to be reading from verses 8 through 16. And we'll read a little bit more later. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, and this is to Elijah, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I might go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll, Lord, help me as I try to proclaim these words, Lord, that you gave me. Lord, we need to hear from heaven tonight. Lord, even myself, Lord, as I studied this, God, you convicted me. Lord, we can all do better for you. I know I can. And Lord, sometimes when it feels like we can't, Lord, I pray, Father, that you just help us to move on for you. And Lord, I pray, God, that you be with the services tonight. If there's anybody amongst us that does not know you as Savior, they'll come to know you as their Savior tonight. Be with the ones, Lord, who are hurting financially, spiritually, physically, or grieving. I pray, God, that you comfort them and meet their needs. Meet all our needs, God. We're needy people. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. Title of the message tonight is When You Think That You Cannot Afford to Give. When you think that you cannot afford to give. Before I get the message, I want to make some pre-introduction remarks. First of all, I'm not going to tell you that if you give an offering or tithe that God's going to dump a mess load of money in your lap. He doesn't do that. There's some prosperity theology that's being spoken of today and of tonight, and it's a lie from hell, okay? So I don't want you to think that as I preach this message that all of a sudden the heavens are going to open up and all these bars of gold are going to fall down like rain. It doesn't happen that way. Number two, God has promised to bless us when we tithe and pay our offerings. Malachi, and you don't turn there, but I will. Listen to this, Malachi chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now. Herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast your fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. We had a pastor in East Baptist Church one time get up and said that, men, how many... You have your wallets in your back pocket. A lot of men raised their hand. He said, you might want to check and be sure they're still there or move to the front pocket, because we got some people in this church that rob God. And if they rob God, they'll rob you. Think about that. Third of all, if our needs are not being met, we need to look at the following. Number one, are we robbing God? Are we giving with a cheerful heart? Are we asking God, and are we asking according to His will? The pastor said that in James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3 this morning. Remember that? He quoted that today. And number three, are we abiding in Him? He's been preaching a series of messages and abiding in Him. And that comes from John chapter 14, verses 13 through 15. But I'm going to turn this other... I'm sorry, he was speaking from John chapter 15. But I want to read to you John chapter 14, verses 13 through 15. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name. Now what do you have to do? You have to ask, right? And in His name. That I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye ask anything in my name, I might do it. I'll think about it. Y'all's Bible don't say that. Does anybody's Bible say that? Well, I think y'all got the same Bible I do then. Because He said, I will do it. And if you love me, keep my commandments. I want you to get that right there. If you love me, keep my commandments. You know, if you abide in Christ, you're keeping His commandments, don't you? And it all comes back, if you do ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. If we're not serving God like we should, or if we're out of fellowship, do you think He's going to bless you? When I was growing up, Dad used to give me an allowance. But guess what? I had to follow the rules and do my chores. Now, if I didn't do my chores that week, and I went to my dad and said, Dad, can I have $5? Do you think He's going to give me $5? No. But if I did the chores, He would give me $5. But listen to this. If I went above and beyond, He might give me a little extra and say, son, you did a little bit more this week. Here's a little extra for you. You see, we can not give and not get the blessings. We can give the bare minimum and get the bare minimum blessings. Or we can keep His commandments and do what He has us to do. And He'll pour out a blessing from heaven more than we can handle. And I'm paraphrasing here. And lastly, before I get the message, we need to pray, people. We need to pray without ceasing. We need to pray with conviction. And we need to pray with confidence. Three things in that. If you pray like that, expect the Lord to bless you. But again, in order for the Lord to bless you, you've got to be doing His will. You've got to abide in Him. Now, I will say this also. I have seen people out of fellowship with God that seemed like everything fell into their lap. And if you read Psalms, David asked God about that. You know, why does the evil prosper, the wicked prosper? But that's just something that's going to drive them down deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Okay? So if you think somebody is, Lord, they're not even saved, but seems like everything they touch turns to gold and turns to gold, I can guarantee you that's going to be a snare for them. And it's going to drag them down even deeper. Okay? So, but anyway, I just wanted to bring that before I brought this message here. And again, the title of the message is When You Think That You Can't Afford to Give. This is the sixth sermon from the series of Thanks and Giving. We talked about the giving of thanks. And then we switched gears and started on the giving part of thanks and giving. Giving goes hand in hand with service. You can't provide service without the giving of service. Do you know that? If I go to McDonald's and order a hamburger, and I pay them $5.67 for, say, a hamburger and fries, and they tell me, well, you go over Burger King because they got the hamburger fries, why don't you go over there? Now, I done paid them, but if they don't bring me my hamburger and fries, they haven't given me any service, have they? You know, it's the same thing with God. We say we're going to serve God, but we sit down and do nothing for Him, then we're not giving service, are we? We're not serving Him, are we? So, you can't provide service without the giving of service. All of us have experienced some kind of hardship in our lives. Every one of us. We're not exempt. None of us are exempt. Whether it's physical, financial, or family related, some people think they can't afford to give. They think they don't have enough time or enough money to tithe or to serve Him. But let me say this, you cannot afford not to give. You cannot afford not to give. I can tell you this, I know firsthand it's better to give than to receive an unexpected bill in the mail. I have gotten plenty of those. And I'm not saying if you give the giving or tithing that you won't. But the Bible does say, and I believe it, He will meet your needs. That bill will be paid for somehow or another. It'll be taken care of. If our heart is in the right place and we're doing what we're supposed to do. It's a tremendous blessing to give to God's work and to see the rewards of that giving. You know, some of that giving may come and you'll see a family in need that will be helped. What about supporting missions? How about seeing lost people come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior? But you know what it all comes down to? It's a five-letter word. T-R-U-S-T. Trust. Remember that song, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey? Trust. Who or what is your trust placed in? You see, people have their priorities mixed up. I've seen young airmen went back in the day when I was in service come in, no stripe on their sleeve, we call them slick sleeves, and they'd go and buy a brand new vehicle. A brand new vehicle, and they're paying $500 a month, and they're probably getting $700 a month. And they're wondering why they can't go out on the weekends or take a trip or go somewhere out to eat or see a movie. And then next thing you know, first sergeants are getting calls, wondering why Airman so-and-so is not paying their bills. And the first sergeant's coming down on us as NCOs, wondering why in the world isn't Airman Johnny not paying his bill. Well, we told Airman Johnny when he got here to look, live below your means. Don't get above your means. But what happens? They still think they know it all. They know more than us sergeants. Now, I'm sure Brother Darrell can attest to that, and probably many of y'all out there that's been in the military can attest to that these airmen will come in, and they want to impress everybody, and they go bankrupt because they're trying to impress everybody. But I want you to look here in 1 Kings. This woman wasn't trying to impress everybody. There is a severe drought going on. In fact, if you back up to 1 Kings chapter 16, I'll give you a little background on why this is going on. 1 Kings chapter 16. And Ahab just became king. And in verse 30 it says, and Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. Jump down to verse 32. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more. Listen to this. Did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. I believe God was mad with this king. So if we jump down to chapter 17, verse 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now, can you imagine it not raining, not one single drop, for about 3 or 4 years? I remember sometimes back in the summer when I was growing up, and I was working on one of my dad's friend's farms, and it would get dry. And I remember the farmers of that community gathering around and having a prayer service, asking God for rain. They really would. Their crops would be failing, and that's their livelihood. If their crops fail, their money's gone for that year. But they would get down on their knees and they would ask God and beg God for rain, because they knew He was the only one that could give it. You see, when this Ahab became king and started doing evil in the sight of God, God said, okay, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you who's in charge. So I tell you what, I'm going to close up the windows of heaven. It's not going to rain for a while. Well, what happens if it don't rain for a while? Things dry up, don't they? Cattle, they can't eat because everything's dried up. Can't get water for the cattle or for yourself because things are drying up. Brooks are drying up. Creeks, rivers, they're just drying up. People are going to and fro trying to find what they can to survive. And this might sound kind of bad, but I believe people were even stooping so much as maybe either eating bugs or eating dead people. You think about a 3-year drought. Now this lady that God told Elijah to go see, she is hurting in a bad way. She's hurting for two reasons. Number one, she's hurting because she can't find food. She just found a little bit that they're going to be able to eat. And she was planning for both of them to die. I think it was to the point that maybe she was going without meals for herself to be sure her son had something to eat. And you know what that does? If you go without eating, maybe drinking water, your body starts to falter, doesn't it? Things start shutting down. You become weak, right? Now, you can live without food for a while, but you can't live without water. I know, because I was in the desert for a few years. And if you tried going without water in the desert, you'll get, number one, you get heat exhaustion. Number two, you can get heat stroke. I wound up with kidney stones. Okay? So I know about needing water. But anyway, I want to look at a few things. But I want you to keep this in mind as we look at these verses. When the waves are over our head, they're under His feet, okay? So I want y'all to keep this in mind as we go through. First thing I want us to look at is the enduring of hard times. You see this in verses 10 through 12. And so Elijah, he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water and a vessel that I might drink. You see in verse 12, as she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse. Behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. You see, this woman, like I said, she was showing signs of heartache and worrying and weakness. Like I said, she has probably foregone meals to ensure her son was fed and drank water. Motherly instincts kick in. You know, a woman that has a child, if she's a good mother, she'll see to it that her child, she'll sacrifice for her child. Amen? And I believe she had time and a time done this. Because you remember now, this drought is going on, and everything's dried up. People are looking for different things to eat and to drink. But during this time, particular time especially, things looked really, really bleak. What she found was the last food source she could come up with, and afterwards she was prepared for death. Now, like I said, I believe on the inside, she was grieving on the inside, knowing she was about to watch her son die of hunger. Can you imagine a mother's grief, knowing that your son's going to die and there's nothing you can do about it? Nothing. But all of a sudden, what? Elijah shows up. So I want us to see this encouraging promise, verses 13 and 14. Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." Elijah shows up, and she's out there gathering for herself. And he comes up to her and says, "What you doing?" "Well, I'm gathering a little bit of meal here so me and my son can eat and die." So Elijah says, "Well, I'll tell you what. Won't you make me a little cake first, and I'll promise you that you'll have a meal through this drought." Now, I don't know about you, but if I was down to the last meal, especially in these days and times, and a stranger walked up to me and said, "Hey, let me have those beans that you're fixing to eat." And by the way, speaking of beans, I thank y'all ladies for cooking those beans. It completed my weekend. I love beans and cornbread. I'm a country boy at heart. And as Andy Griffith said, that was mighty good. So thank y'all. But if I was to feed my family some beans, and I ensured my wife had a big bowl, or the bowl I could give her and Caleb, and I sit there and eat a little bit, and I hear a knock on the door, and I go out, and this man standing there saying, "Hey, won't you fix me a bowl of beans too?" I'm going to look at him like he's crazy. I might tell him, "Hey, there's some Wendy's and Burger King's and stuff on down the road, or I think somebody ran over a possum or a raccoon on here. Why don't you go eat some roadkill?" Amen? Huh? But this woman didn't. You see, this wasn't a coincidence, people. This was all in God's masterful, predetermined plan before the foundation of the world. God's sovereignty had a solution long before there was a problem. Amen. But you know what? I want us to look at a couple words in this verse. Verses 14. There's one word that sticks out twice to me. Verse 14, For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall, that's the first shall, right? Not waste, neither, what? Shall the cruse of oil fail till the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. That's a promise. You know that? God is working through Elijah and telling this lady, "Look, if you do this, I'm going to make you a promise, because this promise is coming from God Almighty Himself. You feed me, and I promise you, that you shall have food and never go without as this drought lingers on. You'll be blessed. Other people will be starving around you. Other people's going to die. But you and your son are going to be fed until this drought's over with." Psalms 37:25, David says, "I have been young, but now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Paul states in Philippians 4:30, "But my God," what's this word, "shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." You know, that should be an encouragement to all of us. Our Lord shall supply all our needs. But you know what? Sometimes, as us humans, we get our priorities out of line, and we think wants and needs are the same thing, don't we? He didn't say he would supply our wants. Although, I have to admit, he supplied a lot of my wants. He sure has. But what has priority, wants or needs? And he did promise us that he would meet our needs. Number 3, I want us to see the example of trust, verse 15. "And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he in her house did eat many days. You see, she did go and make Elijah a little cake. She trusted what Elijah said. Notice that her confidence was true. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah. She believed what Elijah had promised. She didn't argue a second time. She didn't tell him to take a hike. She trusted what he said. Sometimes God will allow difficulties to enter our lives for us to see where our trust lies. Did you know that? He knows. He already knows. But he wants us to grow in grace and knowledge, and that comes with experience. If we didn't have difficulties, we wouldn't have any reason to depend on God, would we? And we would get that prideful nature and not grow as Christians. Then our trust will be placed on ourselves instead of our Savior. Is our dependence in Christ, or is it in worldly things? Turn on over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, 24 and 34. Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 34. Jesus says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon," mammon being money. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on." So you know what? I see three needs there that he said he would supply. You see that? He would supply our food. He would supply our drink. He would supply our clothes. That's our basic needs, isn't it? "Is a life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." Now, remember that word trust I mentioned earlier? "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." What did the pastor been talking on the past few weeks? Abiding in him. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." You see, she trusted him. She trusted Elijah because she trusted Elijah's God. Where is our trust at? Are you trusting in God to meet your needs? Or are you trusting your bank account? Not only do we see the example of trust, we're seeing the experience in God's blessings. Look at 15 and 16. "And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah." This mother got to experience God's promise and his blessings. God will help and bless his people if we obey him, live according to his word. He will help us. But if we're out of fellowship with him, he will help us get back in line. And that may include difficulties in life to get our attention. Do you know that? You get out of fellowship with God, he'll get you back in line. Now, I told you my father when I was growing up that if I did my chores, he'd give me allowance. On the flip side of that coin, if he said to me, "Dave, I need you to go out there and sweep the garage." "Okay, Dad." Next day, "David, I need you to go out there and sweep the garage." "Okay, Dad." Third day, son, come here. I want to show you something. Takes me out the garage, hadn't been swept. What did I tell you to do 2 days ago? Sweep the garage. What did I tell you to do yesterday? Sweep the garage. And I don't know why, I don't know about your dads out there, but Dad had a board, had the Board of Education that was about as big as a dump truck. And I think that thing has some kind of a elastic measure on it, because I could be from here to Fayetteville, and somehow or another he would swing that, and that thing would catch me somehow or another. I don't know how, but he would. He got my attention. He gave me a difficult time because I did not listen to him. He applied that seed of knowledge, the Board of Education, to the seed of knowledge. You know, that same way with God. We serve God and we do what God says. He blesses us. Sometimes he may allow difficulties to come in our life, even if we're living for him, to grow us. We may not have done anything wrong, but maybe he's just saying, Dave, I'm going to grow you. In school, we take tests, right? It's not because we did anything wrong, right? Teacher wants to see how we've grown in knowledge, right? Now, there's kids there who may not have done their homework and studied. They're going to feel like that's a punishment. But guess what? That's on them. That's not on the teacher. You know, that's the same way with God. We may be doing all right. Now, the ones who've been studying, the ones who are living for our King, God says, I'm going to put a test on you. See how we do. Are we growing? He knows. See, God already knows. But do we know? No. But I can tell you this. The ones who have been doing what they're supposed to and difficulties come upon their life, I can guarantee you somewhere in the back of their mind they'll think, I'm not prepared for this. I haven't been studying God's Word. I've been out of fellowship. In fact, I haven't even been going into school, in God's school. Amen? But I want us to look at something else. In verse 14 says, For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. You know what? For growing up all these years and thinking about that story, I automatically thought that this lady had food, and had food that even after the drought and things were back to normal, she could still... That miracle was still going. But I want you to look at something here with me. I want you to look at something. The barrel of meal, this is verse 14 again, shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail. What's that next word? The day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. I want you to get what I'm saying here. After everything came back normal, she was expected to still go and work and get stuff for her son to eat. Did you notice that? Until God does not reward laziness. He does not reward laziness. He'll meet your needs. Listen to this. If you're doing what you're supposed to do, he will meet your needs. But God's not going to bless you if you're being lazy. If you're being lazy in his work, if you're being lazy in the work that he wants us to do, whether it's for the church or whether it's to pay bills or whatever, he expects us to work. I want y'all to see that word, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. You see, God instituted work before the Adam's fall in the Garden of Eden. Didn't he? He didn't tell Adam, I'll tell you what, Adam, what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you go and sit in that hammock. I'm going to have a hammock tied for you with a nice pillow, and it's going to stretch from this tree over here to this tree over here. And the only thing I want you to do is just lay in that hammock and dream sweet dreams. Don't worry about anything. You just sit there and be lazy. I'll be sure. And oh, by the way, when it comes time for you to get hungry and you want some food, just hang on. I'm going to drop these oranges out of heaven into you. And these cows are going to go flying by and they're going to land right there on you, already cut up in steaks. No, God didn't say that, did he? No. He instituted work before the fall. And that if he expected Adam to work before the fall, don't you expect he expects us to work? Paul stated in 2 Thessalonians 3:10 that if any would not work, neither should he eat. And I believe in that. Well, you know what's wrong with our country nowadays? We got people who don't want to work, but they want to get. Give me. Well, do you want to eat? Yeah. Will you go to the grocery store for me so I can eat? You got two legs. Go to the grocery store. Amen? God expects everyone to work, whether it's a man turning a wrench or a woman that works outside the home or a stay-at-home mom who raises the kids and does the housework. You know, a housewife is just as important as a man going out there turning a wrench. Do you know that? And I know it because my mom raised three kids. We were the later version of the Three Stooges. And she had her hands full. Now, imagine being a full-time mom, doing the laundry, going out, getting vegetables, canning vegetables, while all the time she has Dave Thomas, Mark Thomas, and Mike Thomas, and we're out there going, trying to poke each other's eyeballs out and stuff, okay? She had a full-time job. That's an important job, people. That's a very important job. And God bless y'all, ones that work, ones that stayed home with your kids. God bless y'all. Sometimes women who have stayed at home to raise a family get overlooked sometimes. Women who have stayed home while their husband's deployed and stayed home and not only doing what a housewife would do, but also taking up where maybe a husband's responsibility was, maybe in writing bills or doing this and that and the other, maybe taking the car to get worked on. I appreciate that. Y'all have had to deal with some things that some families have not. My hat goes off to you. It really does. Not only have we seen the enduring of hard times, the encouraging promise, the example of trust in experiencing God's blessings, but I want us to look at one last thing. I want us to see the exceeding greatness of His power. Let's jump down to verse 17. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore, there was no breath left him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Thou art come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son. And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up to a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber to the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Her son became deathly ill and died. Now, I don't know if he was sick because maybe the malnourishment he was getting because of the drought. You know, sometimes things like that can happen where if you're not eating good or drinking, sometimes, like I said, your body can shut down. And when your body shuts down, maybe there's something that has an everlasting effect on your body. Maybe some underlying thing he may have had, and with this drought, maybe that these two maybe brought up a severe bout of sickness in him. I don't know. I just know he got sick and died. And after this drought, things were getting back to normal, but not for her. Her son died, and she questions whether or not if Elijah had anything to do with his death. Can you imagine that? Her son dies, and then she goes to Elijah and said, "Look, I fed you. I did what you asked me to do. And yes, I had this blessing, but my son's dead. Why is this happening?" And I believe Elijah had pity on this woman. He took her son and cried out that God would restore the boy's life. You see, God answered his prayers. God will allow back, listen to this, God sometimes will allow back-to-back-to-back trials to come our way, so we will experience God's work in our lives. You see, if her son hadn't died, she wouldn't have seen what God Almighty was capable of doing. Yes, she witnessed that miracle of having that food, but she's never witnessed a person coming back to life. There are some, for some, difficulties that will never cease. You know, Paul said he asked God three times to remove the thorn from his flesh, but God denied that request, didn't he? What did God say? So his grace could be experienced day in and out. In other words, my grace is sufficient for these, what God said. The widow knew without a doubt that Elijah was a man of God, and that the word of the Lord was truth. She knew God was real. She knew without doubt that God was working. The question I have is, when difficulties arise, do you doubt God's promise? Do you place trust in God alone? We need to abide in Him. We need to ask of Him. We need to actively search His will for our lives, so when the difficulties do come, we can experience the exceeding greatness of His power. I want to read something to you by Charles Spurgeon on what we just read. You see, the faithfulness of the Divine One observed that this woman had daily necessities, and we all do. She had to feed herself and her son in a time of famine. Now the prophet Elijah needed to be fed too. But though the need was three times as great, she had a constant, listen to this, a constant supply of meal. Each day she used what was in the barrel, but each day the amount left over remained the same. You too have daily necessities. Because they come so frequently, you may fear that your barrel of meal will one day be empty and the jar of oil will fail you. Rest assured that, according to the word of God, this will not happen. Even if you live longer than Methuselah, and though your needs are many as the sands of the seashore, God's grace and mercy will last through all your necessities. You will never know a real lack. For 3 long years in this widow's day, the heavens never saw a cloud, and the stars never wept a holy tear of dew upon the wicked earth. Famine and desolation and death made the land a howling wilderness. But this woman was always joyful in abundance. It will be the same with you. You will see the sinner's hope perish, for he trusts in his own strength. You will see the proud Pharisee's confidence crumble, for he builds his hope upon the sand. You will even see your own schemes blasted and withered. But listen to this. But you will find your place of defense and the rock of your salvation. People, when you think you have nothing to give, just as this lady did when Elijah came to her, she did what the good Lord would have her to do, and the Lord blessed her. We all, as humans, face difficulties day in and day out, whether maybe it's not enough. Maybe we have too much month at the end of the money. I don't know. I do know this, though, that God's promises are true, and God has promised in His Word that He shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. You see, he owns a cattle on a thousand hills. If he owns a cattle on a thousand hills, don't you think he can give you one if you need it? What about clothing? Everything that clothing is made of, he's provided for that clothing to be made of. Don't you think he's going to provide the clothing for you? The rains from the heavens gives that. If he give us rain for the heavens, I believe he can give us a cup of water to drink, don't you? Are you abiding in him? And is your trust in him? I want you to think about that. You cannot afford not to give. If you want his blessings, you've got to abide. If you want to experience his mercy and grace through difficulties, you have to abide. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Pastor.